Morning. Today's scripture reading is from Luke. Luke 8, verses 40 to 56. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Just then, a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for bringing us in your house of worship. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us in a land of milk and honey. We don't suffer famine, we don't suffer thirst. Lord, we are grateful for your guidance and your protection. Let us always remember that you are the sustainer of our being. Without you, we can't do anything. Lord, let us be attentive. Let us open our ears and our eyes and our hearts to listen to the sermon today preached by our pastor, and speak through him to us, and make us use your words in our daily lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Celebrating Father's Day. Now, I had to ask the question this morning, who is actually celebrating? I as a father, or my children as my children celebrating Father's Day? I sort of to deal with that. And then I've been sort of thinking, what can I use as an example? But before I go any further, I would like to wish all fathers happy Father's Day. Now, also I would like to add to that, I would like to wish all children happy Father's Day for having a father, or else you wouldn't be here. And no one of us would be here without a father. And I couldn't come up with a tangible example, because no matter who I use, there may be some flaws. And just before Sonia finished reading, I just remembered something that used to happen in my family. Sometimes my mom and I would be sitting there, and she would be telling me all about her life, the massacre, the genocide, and all kinds of things. And then she would be crying. And I would say, "Mom, what's wrong?" She said, "You know what? I never met my father. I don't know how my father looked. Was he tall? Was he short? My mom will never describe him. But who was he? And what do I have from him?" Well, she never found out, because he was killed during that genocide. And so she was satisfied with her thoughts, and or troubled often with her thoughts and fantasies about her father. It is wonderful to remember our mothers and fathers and our loved ones and celebrate. And it is wonderful to remember that God has designed everything in a very wonderful way. God said, "Honor your father and your mother," in Exodus 20:12. Family structure is ordered of God. Our earthly father-child relationship is planned by our Creator. Regardless what people say, regardless of how people look at life and explain it out, or make fun of it, or sort of make a mystery out of it, the truth of the matter is that someone has designed each one of us. Someone has designed us in such a perfect way, and He has put things in such a well-designed way that for centuries the family has survived. Although today the family is in danger of disintegrating and falling apart because of unbelief, if you wish, still there are millions of families that are functioning as God wanted them to function. And we thank God for His presence in our lives. Before I present to you a great father in the New Testament, let's look at who the world regards as a great man and who God regards a great man. What do we in the world look for in a great man? Or who would be considered a great man? And who does God regard a man as a great man? And if I were to ask you, I'm sure all of you would sort of describe a man that you, some kind of a man, or a fantasize of a man that would be a great. But actually, in general, the world considers great men kings or government leaders, or great men who have won wars and kept the peace. Generals who have been great leaders in the battle. Athletes who have thrilled the spectators and supporters, etc. I mean, I've heard people who had traveled from Vancouver to come to our hockey finals because they worshipped some of the hockey players. And then you have, of course, the World Hockey Tournament. Let me call it football, because that's what we call those games in Europe. And you know what? I was watching European television, and I saw that they were commenting all day how great this player is and how this soccer player is better than the other. And they worship them, actually. But let's look what God sees, or who God sees as a great man. Men regarded from God to be great are men who have walked with God. Now, men who walked with God may sound really religious stuff, but actually it's not. Our Creator has created us, and He has programmed us, if you wish, in some ways, but also He has given us a free will, and that free will enables us to choose either to follow God, walk with God, or move away from God and walk away from God. And God considers great men those who walked with Him. Men who have believed God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Men who have been faithful to their wives. Men who have been examples to their children. In Luke 8:40 and to 56, we see a wonderful, caring father, Jairus. Now, why should Jairus be regarded as a great father? Because, well, let's look in verses 41 and 42. 41 and 42. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. Jairus did the greatest thing a father can do. In verse 41, he came to Jesus. Now, again, eventually, yesterday we had a Buddhist who has come for the second or third time to our men's fellowship and our lunch. He actually was asking all kinds of questions. And one of the questions, of course, was, what is an atheist? Because we saw a testimony of a lady who was an atheist and she accepted God and became a God-fearing person and a believer. And our answer actually, answers came and this way and that way and all kinds of responses to that question. But the bottom line, I said, was the only difference between any religion, including Christianity, is that there is Jesus. And Jesus is a living and functioning functioning God who changes lives completely. And what is better than coming, once again I'll use the word, to our designer for help? Although he was a ruler in the synagogue and a leader among his people, well known and powerful, he came to Jesus humbly and fell at Jesus' feet. He came with a troubled heart. And I believe the best thing a father can do, and I'm talking to the fathers this morning, but the mothers have a great role, or I don't know whether who has a greater role, but I believe they have equal roles to play in the lives of their children. But here the father humbled himself. He was a leader. He was a theologian. He didn't have to go to another teacher to ask him to help his daughter. But when your child is sick, when your child is in need of help, and when you have tried almost everything else, and you then all of a sudden realize that this problem can only be dealt with by the designer himself, by God who has given that life, can restore a dying person. So the father humbled himself and came to Jesus. What brought Jairus to Jesus was a serious upset in his home, a problem he could not solve, even though he was religious leader, rich and powerful. Believe it or not, during the week, sometimes I get two or three phone calls And then I speak with people who have problems in their homes, teenage rebellions, or teenage children who have rebelled, young children who have been exposed to things that they shouldn't have been. This morning I was reading in the Gazette, as you read in the news, a 13-year-old girl was taken out of her from the safety of her home into a hotel by someone who came all the way from Belgium because of the internet miracle, and they found them in a hotel. Now, that 13-year-old child needed protection, and sometimes we, the parents, we, the community, are so busy doing our own little thing, or our interests are so much greater than the interests of our children, that we neglect to monitor. Yes, why not? My responsibility and my wife's responsibility was to know where our children were, what they were doing. And sometimes they would, rebel is a strong word, they would not really like the idea that we were asking questions. But God has designed the family. And until a certain age, these children need the absolute protection and guidance that they can receive from their parents. It's like the bird that gives birth to children, like the eagle that lets that child drop, but that eagle is always there to go and save that child. Yes, we have to train the children. Yes, we have to let go some of the things, but also we must be there to protect them and guide them. He came to Jesus because he needed the touch of God on one he loved, his child. Now, you probably have not had anything to do with problems like that. You've never found yourself in his position. But more or less, every family has had to go through a difficult period of time or difficulties in the family. And I believe the best person to go, obviously, is God, but it doesn't stop there. I can't just go to God and say, oh, please, God, help my child, protect my child, and defend my child, and then I go away and do my own thing. God is not going to come down and protect that child. It is my responsibility as a father to make sure that I'm available all the time and they're willing to give up some of the things that I love. And this morning I was talking with a gentleman and he said the greatest thing that was able to achieve in his later years, not very old, is to come out of his comfort zone. And that comfort zone is very comfortable. And sometimes we don't want to cross that line of that comfort zone because we feel good, we feel comfortable. We have our programs to watch, we have our activities to go to, we be invited there, or we have invited others, or we have to watch that movie somewhere, or watch that game, and our children are left there. And I believe we are responsible to God and to our children and to our community about how we bring up our children and guide them and protect them. Jairus demonstrated his greatest example of a father's love in verse 42. It says, and Jairus came to talk to Jesus about his child. The most privileged children in the world are those whose parents pray for them. The most privileged children in the world are those whose parents pray for them. I know many of you, or most of you maybe, or some of you are not married and don't have children, so you don't have to pray for anyone. No, you must pray for children in your family. You must pray for the children of your neighbor, if you pardon me for going that far in saying that it is your responsibility. Children are our future. And I believe that these children whose parents prayed for them are very privileged. I believe that, I often believe, when I start thinking about my past and my future, I still believe that the prayers of my father and the prayers of my mother are still being answered. And I believe that those prayers that were prayed until they went into eternity are still in the ears of God. Your prayers are not lost. And the children will appreciate parents who pray for them. Yes, privileged are the children whose names are often before the throne of grace by those who love them and care for them. They are privileged. There are millions of children who don't have any parents, who do not have anyone who cares for them, who prays for them, who brings their names before the throne of God. And if your parents prayed for you, you've been blessed. If your parents never prayed for you, then you learn from that and pray for others, for your own children, for the children of others. We must pray for our children. We must bring them daily before the throne of God. The Bible gives many examples of praying fathers: Noah, Abraham, Job, Joshua. And I would like to read just one example, Job 1, verse 5. Job 1, verse 5 says, when a period of fasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, his children, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. Job's regular custom was to pray for his children, to bring them before the throne of God. And that example has survived history and is recorded in our Bible. Jairus faced the greatest test of a father's faith. Jesus was being held back by people who wanted to be healed too. There were many who needed God's help and the touch of healing touch of Christ. Just as we wait at the doctor's office to see the doctor, but Jairus patiently waits. I believe one of the things that is very frustrating these days is to go to a doctor's office for some examination because you have some pain or some difficulties, and wait there for hours and hours. It's very frustrating. And sometimes you just want to give up and go home. But Jairus, we see, he persevered. He stayed until Jesus talked to him. In the meantime, his mind is with his daughter and wonders about her condition and waits for news from home. And when the news came, it was bad news. His daughter was dead. His father was being tested almost to his breaking point. But Jesus was ready to encourage him at this dark development. He said, do not be afraid, just believe and she will be healed. Now the father had just heard that his daughter was dead. And here the master, the Lord, or the healer says, don't worry. She'll be okay. It does take faith to believe what Jesus said. Nothing takes Jesus by surprise. Even the death of this child was nothing that could not be dealt with or fixed. And don't you ever give up. And I should preach this sermon to me, because often I do worry and am concerned about my children, my grandchildren, and the children of their children. No, I don't go that far, but actually there are some who do that. And I believe that there is nothing that God cannot fix. Jesus was preparing Jairus for this moment. Just a few moments before, the woman who was bleeding for 12 years had been healed by Jesus. I'm sure Jairus was encouraged by this woman's faith. And you know what? Encouragement. One of the reasons why we get together as believers for Bible studies, prayer meetings, for lunch breaks, if you wish, coffee, or fellowship, is to encourage each other. To see, you know, one of the things we do every Tuesday night when before we start the study, after we sing some hymns, is ask for answers of prayers. Because we bring some prayer requests, we should also take time to see whether these prayers have been answered. And the problem, of course, with many of us, we just pray to God and just go continue our daily routine, and we forget about our request, and God is saying, okay, now I'm about to answer your prayer, where are you? And we're not to be found because we are so busy, we get lost in the activities of the day. But we had just prayed for something. And I believe we have to take time and stay there after we ask God for something and listen for His response or look for His response. And then when we get that answer, we must thank Him. While walking with Jesus, we meet faith builders. And there's a good friend here that always mentions to me about people that have helped him build his faith. And actually one of the comments was that is very difficult to find people who can help you build your faith or you can look up to for guidance and help. Well, why can't we be the ones that people can look at us or to us for some help? Is it because we don't want to come out of our comfort zone? Is it because we have decided that we will be mediocre Christians or just Christians by name? If this father, Jairus, had said, well, my daughter is sick, I've done my best, too bad, well, I'm gonna be devastated, I know. But no, he went the extra mile. He came out of his comfort zone and he went and humbled himself before a teacher and he said, please help my daughter. Well, how many times have we come on our knees to pray for our children? You may say, many times, I do it every day. Well, continue. But we should continue also believing that God is hearing our prayers. And so we must pray, we must continue. The daughter of this great father was healed. In verses 51, 56, we see the miracle taking place. Because her father took time to meet Jesus, she was healed by our great Savior, Jesus Christ. And because we will come out of our comfort zone, and because we will give up some of the things that interest us, and because we will give up some things that excite us and give us pleasure, because we want to help our children, because we want to help our wife or husband or brother and sister, because we want to help someone, we will be blessed. And someone will live or find answers to his or her questions. Nothing is impossible with our Heavenly Father. This great Father heard the great physician utter the greatest words he had ever heard. Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed. Now you say that's easy because it's in the book, it's in the Bible, and because it's reality, or because you say so, should I believe it? And what about my prayers? I've been praying for my son's, my daughter's salvation, or I've been praying for the sickness of my daughter and son, and we have in our church, mothers and fathers who have children that are not well, and some are going through a difficult period of time for many years, then I when I talk to them, instead of I encouraging them, they encourage me. And that is what faith is all about. To know that no matter what happens, you have been to the Master. You have been to Jesus. You have been to God, the Creator. And if the Creator decides that life should be given, life will be given. And people say, are you a fatalist? No, I don't believe in faith. I believe in miracles. I believe in God. I believe in God talking to Abraham, to Lot. He said, if there are so many faithful believers, I will save the city. But there weren't any. So God had decided to destroy the city. God spoke to Jonah and said, go and preach to this city, the great city of Nineveh. And he had decided to burn it down. But, he said, if they turn around and worship me, then I'll save it. So it's not fate. It's faith that changes things. Let's all remember that we as fathers, you as mothers, we as brothers and you as sisters, we as children have received instructions. And God has designed us in a very perfect and wonderful way. It is us that we interrupt this continuity in the cycle of life. We as believers know that God is in control. And we as fathers and mothers must bring God in our families. As Jairus went to Jesus, we must bring Jesus in our daily life. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us life. You as our Heavenly Father and the best example of love have given us also responsibilities and duties. Help us to understand them and put them into practice. Lord, each one of us will go now our own ways and do things that will help us either better our lives or interrupt our lives. Please help us to do things because you are there and because you are directing us. Give us a spirit of discernment to be able to discern and strengthen us. Strengthen our faith and help us. In your blessed name I pray. Amen.